This is the Neds NRL Punting Podcast with Jarrell Yao Yee, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Jared Timms.
3 weeks remain in the NRL regular season, and 5 points separates the fifth place Sharks from the 12th placed Sea Eagles. Absolutely incredible. That means there's plenty on the line for the last few weeks, and I think a few can mathematically get knocked out of the premiership race this week too. Welcome, punters, to episode 25, season 2 of the Neds NRL Punting Podcast. My name is Jared Timms, and I'm back from the clutches.
I was going to say, hold up. Are we just going to bypass that you weren't here last week?
No, you're the last person that's been on every single episode now. Jarrell Yao Yee.
Look, I don't do things in halves, boys. I do them in fools, and that's all I know about it. Here we are once again. Still reign supreme. Well, it's good to be back.
Thank you, James Coughlin, for filling in for me. I'll tell you one thing he did say last week that you'll never catch me dead doing. He said, all-star winger, Jarrell Yao Yee.
He just called me a legend.
All right, also with us, as he has been all season, rugby league writers Oscar Panifex.
I've got a warm, fuzzy feeling in my heart having you back in the room, Jared.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Good to have you back.
Really appreciate that. That was the first time I've missed, of course. I think you've been here every week this year, haven't you? Have you missed one this year?
No, I haven't missed one.
Wow, so I'm coming third this year. Wow, hey.
Yeah. I mean,
where are you going with it?
That pretty much sums up your life, doesn't it?
Come on. We've got to pump him up before we pizzle the Sea Eagles later.
Yeah, true. They pizzle themselves. Yeah, that's true. Right to know.
Well, they are the 12th place team that I talked about before.
Yes.
I think they're probably done this week. Finally, for the third week in a row, the fourth time this season, Ned's betting man, Ryan Cook. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Timsy. Good to see you again, mate. Looking forward to getting into it.
What did you think of James saying g'day punters last week?
He did it justice.
Yeah,
real bit of oomph behind it, I thought.
Yeah, good for you.
You could pick up your game, I think. Yeah. You could learn a thing or two.
Okay.
It's really good to have you back. It's really good to have you back. Not saying that James didn't do a bad job, but the band's back together.
Yeah, it feels good. Feels right. Let's get stuck into it. I said it at the top of the show, 3 regular season weeks remaining. Jarrell, who's leading the Dally M at the moment?
Oof. I mean, well, look, I'm going to go past who I said at the start of the season.
Yep.
Behind closed doors, he was coming third. I think he was only a couple of points behind Reece Walsh and Payne Haas at the time, and Harry Grant was that guy. Had another great game on the weekend as well. Had his, you know, fingers and everything. And I would say, if I'm going to be honest, though, the rise of Sean Johnson over the last 6 or 7 weeks has been amazing. He's really put his side in a position to play a home final at some stage as well. So, yeah, I would have to say, where I'm going with this, I think Sean Johnson might be right up there.
How good is that as well? I remember last season we spoke about when he signed for the Warriors, and I thought this is going to be the exciting thing that happens at the end of his career. You don't see the Warriors winning a premiership. You don't see him winning a Dally M. Fast forward to right now, both of those things could happen.
Yeah, his game is just, it's come back. Like, he's young again. His running game, he's making sure he's leading the, team around the park. And I think the best thing about what they're doing there at the Warriors at the moment to make him look good is the forwards are really taking it, by the balls.
Yeah.
They're doing the hard work. They're actually playing a bit of footy and defending very, very well in the middle as well. So when all that's going right and SJ is and getting the freedom to run the ball, it's the Warriors are good. And, yeah, I think he's going to be close to up there to being Dally M Player of the Year.
Beautiful to watch. What do you reckon, Oscar?
I'm with SJ as well.
Yeah.
I mean, his stats, even when he was at the Sharks, were still elite.
Yeah.
He was near the top for try assists in back-to-back seasons from memory. And then, like you said, the forward pack of the Warriors this year. I mean, Adam Fanua Blake, if Payne Haas isn't the best prop in the game, which he probably is, then AFB is surely a comfortable second.
Definitely.
We talk about Isaiah Yeo, Pat Carrigan, Cam Murray, all these guys. Tohu Harris has been doing the damn thing for 5 years now.
5 years, yep.
They're just so resilient. We've spoken about this on the podcast already this year. They're just soaking up the pressure. They're completing their sets. Mm-hmm. SJ's kicking game this year has been superb, finding the corners and then attacking kicks as well. So, yeah, I think he's deservingly favourite to win the Dally.
Yeah.
I really wish Adam Fanua Blake had found that form when he was at the Sea Eagles. Instead, he got rubbed out several times.
I was going to say, I thought he found some form.
He hated being there. And you could tell by the way he carried himself during the week and out on the field. Needed to get out of there, and clearly he's found the right home.
Yeah, it looks like he's playing the goods there in over in New Zealand, and I'm excited to see them play some finals footy.
Likewise. wise.
Hopefully, it's not too good week one at the moment if it's looking like the Broncos are playing them. But when they're in the competition, obviously we've got massive support for rugby league over in Auckland and in New Zealand. And once they're going well, I think the competition's in great hands as well.
Absolutely. What about you, Ryan? Dally M?
I had SJ down as well. I mean, you guys have already summed it up pretty nicely, but it's just for the story, I think. It's like such a career resurgence. But he also leads the league in kicking meters, been one of the more efficient tacklers this season. Just those little one percenters that he's doing really well. So yeah, I can't disagree with anything you boys have said.
Yep, absolutely agree with you as well. Speaking of clubs that have somehow turned it on even in the last few weeks, are the Knights a premiership chance?
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell?
Like, I am so... You know, when they started going on that little run, I was always like, they've got to have a hiccup once. Where have they come from? What's happened at the club? We were talking about him getting the sack about 7 weeks ago.
And it was that soon as well. That's not even an exaggeration.
Have they gone seven in a row? Is that correct?
Dogs.
I think it's seven. Six or seven
in a row. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't think I've seen a Newcastle side like this for a very long time. I'm not sure if it's from their run that they've had, but I will say this: it sort of all started and they built a lot of confidence when they played Melbourne.
Once
they beat that Melbourne side, it sort of just went bang and they look like world beaters. They just didn't think they could be beaten by anyone. And when you got someone like KP playing his best footy, and I think the best thing that happened to him this year was not getting chosen in Origin and then telling Billy Slater that he will wipe himself out of the selection for State of Origin this year. He looks fresh. He looks great. Man, at the start of the year, he was playing, in the halves, and we were like, what are they doing? Now we can see why he needs to stay in this position, and he can still play those roles that we've been watching. He's unbelievable at the moment. He's the one at the front and center of the reason why they're playing great footy. There's obviously other players there, but yeah, he's taken it by the storm, and he's looking really, really good, and so are the Knights.
The Cowboys have certainly come on as a result of Origin. Has that happened at the Knights too? Is it Bradman Best coming in and playing with huge confidence? Is it old mate, the back row, what's his name?
Tyson Frizzell.
Frizzell. I was going to say Tarek Sims, not Tarek Sims, Tyson Frizzell. Is that what it is?
I'm just looking at the run they've had. Like, they've beaten some lesser teams in the last 6 weeks, but before that, round 17, they lost by 8 to Penrith. Chooks beaten by 2 the week before. Roosters haven't been at their best this year, but they can still turn it on and be one of the best sides on their day. They got beat by the Bronx by 4 points the week before that. So they've been there or thereabouts against those top sides, and then they're smashing the teams that they should be lately. Hopefully Jackson Hastings is all right this week. It was awful to see him go down with that hip.
That was one of the bad ones.
It was nasty. The same thing happened this time last year. Pat Carrigan got him and he broke his leg. So I've spoken about Hastings a lot this year. I think his ability to get Newcastle to certain areas on the field, it's unlocked Bradman Best this year. Hopefully he's not out for too long. I hope he's out this week because the Bunnies have got Newcastle this weekend. But, I think with Hastings there pointing him around the park, they've got a serviceable forward pack. Their wingers are just scoring tries for fun this year. I'm going to talk about Dom Young later. But, it comes down to KP and Hastings, I think.
Well, there's only 3 rounds to go, really, this week and three weeks to go in the normal season. They're sitting on 29 points. You'd have to win two. You want to be around that 34 point mark to be safe as in the top eight, and they're close. I mean, we were looking at them; they were very. I think they were 12th down the ladder about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and they've climbed it fast. And there's been a few results that have gone that way, which has helped them as well. A few teams in that realm, like the Raiders, losing a couple, and the Sharks not going good as well. So that from 5 to 8, it's so tight. From 5 to 9, it's very, very tight, but the Knights have definitely put themselves in contention.
They've got a massive for and against advantage too, 110 positive for the Knights. So, and the guys around them, the Raiders one slot above them, minus 120.
Well, there you go.
And then Souths are below them on 92, so they've got you know, at least 20 points clear of the Bunnies as well.
I remember walking down Caxton Street on Magic Round.
Oh, for the skit, and I forgot all about
the skit that we did for Neds, yeah, and people were laughing at us.
Yeah.
And now, yeah.
And the whole idea of that was it was just a big piss take. Yeah. Like they probably should have been the team to miss Magic Round because they were so nothingy. Yeah.
And it's probably
here we are now.
It's probably been the best thing for them.
Yeah.
Because that one round, there's a lot of energy in that round. Like, you take a lot out of that. So they got to, you know, take away points from that. And they rested most of their players. Like, I just don't know how we're talking about them being playing finals, but we are.
A trip to Bali does wonders.
Yeah. Now, they don't obviously have the depth and class of a team like the Panthers, but in this sort of confidence, and if they continue this winning run into the finals, do you give them a chance in a knockout game against a team like Penrith?
No, not against Penrith. I don't give many teams a chance in a knockout game against Penrith. I think there'd be a fair shout of winning in week one, but
yeah, okay,
I would be surprised just with their, I mean, as we've seen, anyone can beat anyone on their day this season, but yeah.
And as history tells too, like those teams that are fifth to eighth, they just don't go far in the finals, unfortunately. Yeah. Like as much as people want to see them prove wrong and everyone gets excited for your team slipping inside that eight, the cream really rises to the top when you talk about deep into the finals and those top four sides have been playing finals footy for the last 8 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna be hard to beat any of those sides that are in the top four, but season-wise, I mean, if they can make the finals, that'd be a huge tick on their behalf.
Mm. Where did Parramatta finish last year, the regular season? Were they in the top four?
Yeah, top four.
It's been a while since a team outside of the four has...
Yeah. Well, since, I think...
Cowboys, wasn't it?
Or the Broncos?
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, I think when Cows won it in 16,
they finished
7th or 8th or something. Mm. They only just snuck in.
Yeah, I know that they were pretty far down the year. Mm. They made the final in 2005. That was a long time ago now.
Yeah.
All right, Jarrell, you and I dug into this one this morning and very keen to get the take of you two blokes on this one.
I haven't seen this
one yet. A lot of hype surrounded Cameron Seraldo's arrival at the Bulldogs. Is he that good?
Oh, I'm not prepared to rule him out just yet. I think you guys have asked me a question similar to this year, and I pointed at the horrific injury toll that the Bulldogs have suffered this year in the forwards and in the backs. They got a halfback playing now that wasn't there at the start of the season.
Mm.
So I think there are a lot of excuses. Not that I'm sure Cameron Serrato wouldn't be looking for them.
No.
I'd be prepared to give him another, you know, 12, 18 months and see what he can do with the
strength squad. Did Trent Barrett only get 1 year with him?
2 years. He was there for two years.
Fair.
I think you need 3 years, realistically. Yeah, I think any coach should expect to have 3 years because you're getting over the first season, you're starting to build into something, and then the third year, realistically, is you're showing what you're made of there.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree with that. Mm. I think there is a direct comparison to be made here, though, with Andrew Webster, who has come out of the same coaching system, and look at what he's done with on paper, I suppose, a worse team than the Bulldogs. I suppose it comes down to injury. Yeah, I reckon so. On paper, I think the Bulldogs team's pretty good.
If they're fresh.
If you pick the best choice Bulldog side this year against the best choice New Zealand side, how many Dogs players are you picking over?
Well, I think
New Zealand players?
A lot of the Warriors have come on as a result of Webster and everything being there. There's a lot of names that have sort of risen to the surface.
Yeah, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean,
but I also don't think we'd be having this conversation if the Warriors aren't going.
No, yeah,
you
of
know,
course
crash off because we would be sitting here going, you know, like we do every year with the Warriors. We're not fussed about them because we've never actually gone. They're not you know grand final contenders. Mm. I think if we bring the tape back in round one, we didn't even think anywhere they'd be anywhere again.
Yeah.
So I think where you're coming from is that. Yeah, I probably would put a lot of Bulldogs players up against the Warriors because of that reason and going to that club and not having the success. But what he's done there, Webster, and we're talking about Seraldo here, he probably does need another couple of years.
Yep.
It's unfortunate he did have these injuries as well, but he's got, you know, it's a pretty big club in Sydney. He's got all the right people around him as well. He did have to move too far from, you know, Penrith to go too far anywhere, to change too much, but he was the man that had the defensive key. Like that was his big, you know, big goal. And I'm pretty sure they've conceded the most points out of anyone.
Yeah. Every other week they have 50 put on them.
So I mean, I know it's only, you know, we're only in just over a year in his contract, but I would have thought he'd be doing a lot better by this time.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, those defensive stats are damning when you look at them on paper. I think when you dig a little deeper, like, sure, they're conceding a lot of points because their defensive line or their defensive systems aren't great. But if they're turning the ball over, you know, 20 metres further inside their half than the average team is because their halfback's kicking game isn't great, or they're making more errors because they're playing reserve grade forwards, or they're missing tackles on the edges because they've got 21-year-olds that they've thrown in there because they need to cover an injury, an injured spot. There's a lot of things that go into a number like that. Sure, you've got to take it on face value to some point, but yeah, like, I mean, Phil Gould, whether or not you like him or not, it's pretty hard to argue with his footy IQ.
Yeah.
And he was smart enough to give Serrato 5 years, which I think is an indication that the Bulldogs are prepared, you know, to give him some time to get his fingerprints onto this roster.
I love how Gould has been throwing a lot of stick to other teams, actually. Geez, he's passing the buck lately, eh? It's funny to watch him, you know, be in the position he's in and then be in the media and then run down everyone else and not talk about his own side.
He's good at deflecting.
He's very good at deflecting. He's obviously doing that for a reason. But I think Kevy came out and said he just needs to worry about his own.
Kevy said it. Yeah, Blake Solly said it, the Rabbitoh CEO as well. So
you need to worry about your own back.
I just wonder if Seraldo gets the best out of his really big name players as well. I mean, Cow obviously injured for a lot of the season, but Reid Marnie's been very hot and cold. Yep. I don't think Burton has been nearly as scary this year as what he has been.
Yep.
Probably another thing to be interesting to see how he goes in the next couple of years.
But I will say this, if he's been at a system too where he understands how to develop kids as well, like being at Penrith, then he's obviously got to have some kind of, and Gus Gould, they've got to have some kind of, you know, knowledge of how to have these young kids at Bulldogs and to, you know, make sure they're moulding them properly to be in first grade. So, yeah, I think next year will really tell where Seraldo will be and what the type of coach he really is.
I mean, the only way is up from where they are too, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. Jared Croker has called time on his NRL career, spanning 14 seasons, more than 300 games. Drar, what's his legacy?
Oh, like, I think
servant to the nation's capital.
I've always been, you know, a big follower of him because I come through playing in 20s against him. I played him in a grand final, and I think a lot of those boys that come through together really kept an eye on each other. And we've seen some great moments from Jared Croker over the years. He's been amazing for the game of rugby league. He never really had an incident off the field.
You know,
and I think that's when you look at your legacy. You look at someone like him, and he's. It sucks because he's the type of guy that probably should have won a grand final.
Yeah.
If we're talking about good people and good blokes and, you know, what they're made of. He's obviously not going to have that moment for himself, but, you know, everything else he's done in the game, on and off the field, I'm sure he's been a great community man down there in Canberra as well. And, yeah, we're going to see a guy who has been playing a lot of football. And, you know, I'll say this again, it is so hard to get to the 300 mark in this day and age in this game because it's such a tough sport.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, Canberra did him a favour and got him there, I think is very important. And the Canberra faithful will be very, very happy that they've seen Jared Croker put a Raiders jersey on for 300 games. It's, yeah, he should be very proud of himself and so should his family.
Yeah, when he got called up midway through this year, obviously a lot of people were thinking, oh, yeah, it's a great opportunity for him to notch 300. But he didn't only just do that. He came into the side and they went on that run straight away.
Yeah.
Which shows, like, he's class, sure. He's not as quick as he used to be. He's not as strong as he used to be. And he has been found out laterally in defence a few times this year. You know, in saying that, they plugged Ethan Strange in there last week and I think Melbourne scored 5 or 6 tries down that edge. So it's not just Jared's fault. I think he's just the model of consistency. Like, his best game might have been a 9 out of 10 and his worst game was, what, a 7 maybe? For the best part of 290-odd games. So, yeah, I'm so glad to see he cracked that 300 and...
He can sit back now. Like, I mean, you know, and look at what he's done in the game. People that make 300, they don't leave the game of rugby league without nothing. Like they're treated like royalty because it's just you just don't do it. Like, it's, there's been what, like, he'll be the 50th or 47th?
Yeah, something like that.
47th player to do it. Like, when you think about it in the history of the NRL and there's only been 47 players to do it, yeah, Jared Croker should be very proud of what he's done. It's amazing, and he's going to be remembered at the Canberra Raiders for a very, very long time.
Unlucky not to have received an Origin call-up, do you think?
Yeah, maybe. I was pretty young when he was kind of in the frame for Blues selection, so I probably didn't have the best read on, you know, on his prospects. Yeah, you could say unlucky, perhaps. I mean, it was a pretty unlucky time.
Well, I was going to say, would you
anyone
really?
Would have, maybe. Yeah, he probably would that have tarnished his
legacy. He could have had a Nathan Merritt experience. Yeah, thrown in and get pumped.
Exactly.
By
the yeah, it's yeah. not any centre that was playing for New South Wales at that era, at that time was. I mean,
Josh Morris is the only one who stood up.
He's probably J Moz is a very special player. Mm. Yeah, I think he's probably glad that he didn't.
Yeah,
like honestly, because you just notch up what you're a part of that dynasty that got beaten. Like,
yeah,
I think he'd be very happy with what he's achieved in the game.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Fair enough. Well, good on Jared Croker. Now I'm really hovering on this 3 weeks of the regular season to go thing, and this week, Oscar, you had a look into the race for the 2023 top try scorer.
Yes, well, I've got a bit of skin in the game with this one.
Yeah, no doubt.
I was on Dominic Young at $51.
Were you really?
To start the year as top try scorer. Now, I'll confess, that was because there were reports that he might have been going to the Roosters early.
Straight away.
So I was playing on
that. Probably the best thing that he did.
Well, it's worked out all right for me so far.
Yeah.
But also, I know how much you enjoyed the Wingers chat last week, Jarrell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I wasn't here for that. How were you?
Oh, well.
Couldn't stand up and just after the other.
The table was rising. The table was rising.
So yeah, I've just had a look. There are 7 players in contention for top try scorer this year, which is the closest. I went back as far as 2013 or something.
Yeah.
It's the closest since 2017 when Suliasi Vinivalu and Josh Adokar both tied with 23.
Wow.
And there were some good names in that season as well. For some context, I wrote in the Neds blog, you guys can check it out on the website or in the app, Gareth Widdop was still running around in the NRL. Jason Nightingale was on the wing for the Dragons.
Jason Nightingale.
And Michael Morgan led the league for line engagements in 2017. So yeah, 6 years on and we've got the tightest race to the top try scorer yet. So sitting in first place is AJ. 21 tries. He's got a bye next week, though, so I think that's probably the
he
only
can't score any tries
risk. Yeah. So we'll wait and see how he goes. But I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when he outran Jareem Buller for a length of the field intercept try. I was wondering whether AJ still had the pace that he's got.
Doesn't have the acceleration, but he definitely has got the high top speed.
The long range pace.
Yeah, you can definitely see that because we've seen how fast off the mark Buller is.
Yes.
You're just seeing AJ's class and how he is when he gets up and goes. So he's still got it.
He's still got it. And I think one thing that I'm appreciating more and more whenever I watch AJ is his ability to create space and find his way to the try line, whether it's just a little, like one or two steps infield before speeding off to the corner or, you know, shimmying in the tackle and getting the ball down. He's got a knack for it.
I think people have got to understand it's really hard to put people off when you're on the wing and do that, like to evade people and, you know, make sure you're not stepping in too early or you just put a little jink on. And I think the better you get at that in your career, the more people get worried when they're defending you. So it makes it look a lot easier when they do it. So, you know, you've got some of the best defenders in the game who have got, you know, the person we're talking to, AJ, you know, one-on-one, in your whole mind, all you're thinking is, oh, God.
Yeah.
Because they know he's so good at being elusive. He doesn't actually have to be good late in his career because he's done it so many times that he's got that aura about him. So I think that's what happens with the good wingers. Well, I know that's what happens because and you're not always, as a winger as well, you're not always using your same jink and bustle or, you know, whatever you're doing. You're always mixing it up to try and put the defense off, and he does a very good job of that.
Love AJ.
Love AJ.
Anyway, we'll keep going. Jermaine Asako, we've spoken about him a few times over the last few weeks. I think he got a hat trick last weekend, which has catapulted him right up. He's second place, equal second on 20 tries. He's got the Tigers, the Cowboys, and the Warriors remaining. Cows and particularly the Wars might make it difficult for him to score, but if he cashes in a couple this weekend, he's a rare chance of getting top try scorer and top points.
What a season he's had. What a season he's had.
Yeah.
Like so good in the air. And I think I wrote in the blog that whether he's speeding to the corner, like he's quick enough to win a race to the corner and he's strong enough to cut back inside and bust off a couple of tackles and find the try line.
Yep,
I think he's an expert finisher. My boy, Dom Young, equal second on 20 tries, now paying $3. So too bad if you didn't get in on the 51.
Oh, you should have listened, punters.
I think guys like AJ and Alofiana Camperera, who I'll speak about in a bit, they've relied a lot on the work of their inside men, Cody Walker and Trell Mitt, and Isaiah Tass as well for AJ. And I think the way that Kieran Foran and David Fifita have played this year has really helped unlock AKP. Dom Young just does it by himself a lot of the time.
He's special like that, isn't he?
Like those long strides. How many tries have we seen him start or finish from deep inside his own half? He can bust a tackle. He can jump over him. His acceleration for a big dude is and frightening.
And in saying that, like a big dude, it's not easy to do what he does and stay close to the sideline. Like a lot of your bigger boys will always try to come infield. Nah, he just backs himself every single time, and I love seeing that. It's not many, like it's hard. Wingers don't do it a lot.
Yeah.
They don't back themselves as well. They like to come in, have the safe play, and make sure they either get a quick play of the ball or come in and under the post.
Yep.
He don't care. He'll go around you.
Yeah, well, Michele Ravalawa is probably one who likes cutting back infield and backing his strength to get to the dry line.
No one's, it's hard to stop him that close.
Terrifying. Line. And I've spoken about this already. I'm really excited to see what Shane Flanagan does with Zach Lomax and Ravalawa next year.
Yes.
So Ravalawa's on third with 19 tries. Equal fourth is Mulatalo, who just... He's got to be the most athletic finisher in the game, doesn't he? He's probably one of those guys who backs himself to fly over... full body outside the field of play and plant the ball down in the
corner. Oh, yeah.
Dallin Watenizel, as
yes, well, I'm getting to him.
Mulatalo's ruined a few as well this year as well.
Yes, and I wrote that in the blog. He might come to rue a few wasted opportunities dropping the ball over the line.
Yeah, I think his thought process is... Larry, let's be Larry and let's put it down the best way possible for the cameras.
Yep.
He probably won't say that, but that's what it looks like from the fan watching.
Tipping he's got an impressive Instagram account.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think he's benefited from the work of Talakai, CSC for Talakai at left centre. Right, okay. Talakai has 17 try assists this season, which is the same amount as KP, Jerome Hughes, Ben Hunt, and a couple other halves as well.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, so he's equal third or equal fourth.
That's incredible.
For try assists.
That is, wow.
Outrageous.
That is outrageous.
DWZ, who Jared, you just mentioned, I think some of his acrobatic finishes in the corner this year have been outrageous. He's on equal fourth.
He's the
18.
Best at it.
Yeah.
I will say that he's the best at it.
Definitely the best to watch.
Like, I'm not sure. He's such a big body. I don't see many players doing what he does, how he contorts his body and holds a ball in the right hand and, you know, reaches out and his body's out. Like, there's not many that can do it like that. He's probably the best in the game to doing it.
With you up there for the best mullets of all time as well.
You reckon?
Neck and neck.
Stop it.
And then last, Alofiana Camperera is on 18, so he's equal fourth as well. Lightning quick. We've spoken about him.
Can't pass.
Chipping and chasing.
He can't himself. Pass. Cannot pass a ball. Will kick any day of the week.
It looks pretty good.
I know.
I think he's benefited. Fafita's got 9 try assists this year, which is comfortably his best return in the season. I think he's developed a pass.
And yeah.
I think all 9 of those might have been for Camperera. So, yeah, it's a tight race on. I put Dallin and AJ as savers about 4 weeks ago, and then bloody Jermaine Asako keeps scoring tries for fun, so I'm a bit nervous watch. But
there you go, punters, get on Jermaine Asako. Here's a question for you, Oscar. Would you prefer AJ to score a couple of match winners for Souths and win most tries of the year?
Oh,
or
here we go.
Would you prefer Dom Young to crash over for a couple and your 50-1 odds pay out?
Oh, so and AJ, don't be a fraud in front of everyone.
AJ scores and it makes Souths win games?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
You would prefer that?
Well, I still win money on AJ as well.
So. Oh.
If you didn't have that bet on, though, which of those two would you select?
No, nah, I'll go with Dom Young.
Well, guess what?
Money.
Well, if they're winning it, then we get all your money then, right? So,
I reckon you've cashed out already.
Yeah,
you got cash out at Colombia.
Show us your slips. All right, 4 rounds into the NRLW now. Oscar, how's that all been shaping?
It's going pretty well. Had a shocker 2 weeks ago, but we cashed in on a couple over the weekend. Kezzy Apps at $6 or $7 or something,
nice.
I think.
So,
yeah, it's going really well. Learning lots each week. I'm keeping track of where teams are scoring tries and where they're conceding. So I'll be putting all that kind of information in the Neds open groups over the next few weeks. Just very quickly going over the 5 games this weekend. First one, Cronulla Sharks v Cowboys. I've tipped Sharks 1-12. They're 1-3. So they've lost against the Tigers, Titans and Roosters so far this year. Those are the 3 best defensive sides in the competition.
Yeah.
So I think the numbers are skewed a little bit. I don't think Cronulla are as bad as we think they are. They've got the most kicking meters on average per game. And I think they're about 4th or 5th in yardage. So field position is so important in NRLW, and I think the Sharks are playing with plenty of it, and I'm backing them to beat the Cows this weekend. Dragons v Tigers next up. Your Tigers, Jared, going really well. They dropped a game against the Cows last week. They were missing Bovetti Welsh. He was out with the HIA. And Lasana Lutu playing in the halves off the bench. They were both missing. There was maybe three or four try-scoring opportunities on their left edge that I'm certain the Tigers would have scored if Lutu or Vetti Welsh.
Manly aren't going to make the final. So does that mean for the final series, do you buy a scarf, Tiger scarf maybe. Of some sort?
I reckon we've probably got one laying around the office like, somewhere. And, we're a jersey sponsor for 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And do not be ashamed of that. Like, that's the side you've picked for the NRLW. We all support you as friends.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate it. What a really nice thing this week.
But when they go to shit, we'll make sure you hear it.
Yeah. Right in the scope of that. So they opened at 32s, I think, didn't they? Before $13 nice. In NRLW premiership. Okay. West Tigers.
Yeah, I think they'll finish up somewhere near the middle of the table, if not fighting for that top four spot as well. So, yeah, they're going well. I've tipped the Tigers 1-12 this week.
I've never heard of that. It just doesn't sound right. Yeah. Just for you to say that.
No, it does not. No one's ever said that ever.
The Roosters v Titans game, I think, will be the game of the round. I'm really enjoying what the Titans are doing this year. They're defending. They've got the best defense in the competition. Their attack's still developing. They've got two 18-year-old halves who are kind of they're playing a very high percentage, composed kind of game. They're not risking a lot of passes, which is translating into a pretty middling attack. But their defense is so good, they're keeping themselves in games. I don't think their defense will be good enough for the Roosters, though, who are really clicking into form. Taron Aikens dishing out tries for fun every week. Yeah. Isabel Kelly and Jess Surges on the edges are carving up. So, yeah, I think I've tipped Roosters 1-12, and I think Tasman Gray on the Roosters' left edge is a good shout to score this weekend. And then the last – oh, no – couple more games. Sorry, I'll try and hurry up.
No, that's okay, buddy. You're all right, mate. Just go.
Bronx v Knights.
Oh, yeah.
Broncos. We spoke about Mele Hufanga two weeks ago, scoring four tries. She scored another one last week.
Yeah, and a good one. Drop under.
Very good.
Under the post.
And they should be using that play every single week. She's going to score a few more. The Knights also kicking into gear. They're second favourites, I think, in the premiership markets. Jessie Southwell, their halfback, having a... probably an indifferent start to the year for her standards, but her short kicking game is, I think she's averaging about 2.5 line dropouts a game for. So she's helping the Knights win a lot of field position. And then Tamika Upton is without a doubt the best player in the game. Some of her ball playing and positioning and backline movements, she's setting herself up on the right edge, then sweeping over late, double pumping to send the center out and then dropping short.
I know I've said this so many times. I'm thoroughly enjoying watching the NRLW. Mm. Like, I just, you go back, 6 or 7 years, nothing against it. I just wouldn't think I'd be here.
I completely agree. I absolutely
love it. And there's nothing better than a Super Saturday. You know, all these games are on beforehand as well. And yeah, I'm loving women's sport in Australia right now.
Yeah, it's
and flying. We'll probably talk about that a little bit later.
I've got goosebumps.
Last but not least, Parramatta Eels v Raiders on the weekend on Sunday. Eels are struggling big time. They don't have a great pack and they're getting just dominated in yardage and spending a lot of time defending
familiar for Parramatta.
Their own try line. The Raiders, conversely, playing really good footy. I've spoken about Zahara Temera. Her kicking game has been superb to start the year and they've got some really good strike on the edges. Girl called, I think, Chantelle Robbins-Retty did this mean little backhanded flick pass to send her winger down the sideline last week. So, I think the Raiders are going to cash in. I've spoken about the Eels' right edge has conceded 13 tries in four games.
Good Lord.
So I think the Raiders will search left this weekend. Yep. So, yeah, that's the NRLW round five.
It's absolutely outstanding. Now, we have colleagues sitting outside our podcast studio, and thank goodness, because I've just received a text message of breaking news in rugby league here Tuesday afternoon. Apparently, reported by Buzz Rothfield, Tevita Pangai Jr. has retired from rugby league to take up boxing.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
No.
Apparently, that has just happened now, Tuesday afternoon. So, you have one crack at Origin. He's completed it all. And we're going to boxing. When was the last
time
that happened?
Holy hell.
Are you seeing it now?
I am seeing it.
Good Lord. What's it say?
Tevita Pango Jr.
Oh, okay. Nice. Right, that's our punters. Thank you for that's absolutely incredible. So not since Chock Mundine.
Like, I will say this. I know T from the Broncos days.
Yeah.
So is he basically saying that he's shit at rugby league now and that he's had to go on somewhere else?
Maybe.
Like, I love him. Like, I love T and I love everything about him.
But what's it's weird that it's a very
has something happened to the Bulldogs.
He would only be like 25, 26 years of age.
Yeah, yep, mid-20s for sure.
So boxers usually who are you know pretty good boxers, they start at amateur when they're like 22, 23.
Yeah. They're coming on in their late 20s, good boxers.
So is he thinking that, you know, money-wise, that he could get a way big pay packet for the next 5, 6, 7 years in boxing than he could in rugby league?
Boxing in Australia these days, too, is quite heavily wrapped up with rugby league, isn't it? I mean, we've seen the Gallon fights and the Hodges and all of that sort of stuff. But George Rose, of course, in No Limit Boxing, which is the biggest promotion in the country.
I will say this. We have seen Paul Gallon, you know, grab a hold of boxing and use it as a great segue for rugby league players to do. But he did it at the end of his career. So are they thinking, all right, I would say that the Rose brothers have had a conversation with Tevita.
Yeah.
Because this can't just happen overnight.
No.
This is crazy.
That's enormous.
It is insane. Because, you know, there's probably more of a chance you make more money at the moment in boxing in Australia than you do in rugby league, because he's not the top tier and it looks like he's not going to be for, you know, now he's sort of going backwards.
Yep.
Does this mean that he is going to be the next Sonny Bill Paul Gallen, and he is going to go for the next 5, 6 years? Paul Gallen, by the way, made over $4 million over like 4 or 5 years boxing.
Yep.
And he was at the end of his career. He'd been bashed in rugby league in the nicest way possible. I mean that to Gal. But wow, this is insane.
Yeah, has he shown maybe he's shown some real skill boxing?
Well, who did he fight? He fought a bloke from
they always go up against Boxcar Phil at the start of these things, don't they? He's fighting for a sandwich. He just keeps stopping to check his bindle.
He did fight a guy
fighting plumbers and landscapers and stuff like that.
He did fight the head splitter. What's his name? I'm just at a blank now. Isaac Hardman, sorry, apologies.
I know
Isaac
Hardman.
I know Isaac Hardman very well, but he fought a guy out of Isaac's gym.
Okay.
He's boxed for a long time and he beat him very comfortably on that card.
Okay.
To Vita Pangai Jr. He's got a lot of punching power, but I think there's a lot to learn in boxing.
Yeah.
It's got to be respected. Mm. I've boxed for a long time now and I understand that I don't have the balls to do what they do. Like, I'm just, and the other thing is I have a family. I don't want to do what they do.
Yeah.
No matter what you pay me, I'm happy just to sit on the sidelines. But I respect him. If he's going to go do that, he's got to do it properly, because I know the boxing is getting really, really big in Australia, and he could be the next big thing for Australian boxing, which I'm not upset to see.
It's a different kind of fitness for a big boy, though, boxing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's very different. And look, he's a big boy. We know that he can probably, if he's got the punching power of a heavyweight.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. It's a very, very hard training.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not easy training. It's a lot. I'd say it's a lot more. It's a lot harder than the rugby league training in to another extent. And there's a lot of disciplines in boxing. So, and I'm talking food wise. I'm talking, you know, anything else that comes with the game of rugby league. You cannot. It's a tough industry to go into, but good luck to Tevita.
As a podcast that has famously been stitched up by things that have happened just as we finish recording, we've done it, Jarrell.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, we're right at the top of the news.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back on top. Guys, it's really good to be back on top.
Man, I'm so interested to see what Bulldogs fans think about this.
Yeah.
And I'm so interested to see, or to find out, we might never find out, but like where this came about from.
Has he got a lot of money?
Well, I just Googled it. So he signed last year a 3-year deal with the Bulldogs, and the only thing I can see that mentions the amount is that it was a multi-million dollar switch, which could mean bloody anything.
I reckon he's been tapped on the shoulder.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because Feelgood rarely loses a player that he doesn't really want to keep, right?
Yeah.
So has Feelgood tapped him? Has Tevita, like...
You're going to play Origin this year.
Yeah.
You got to think about that.
And then Payne Haas signs next week.
Bang.
Oh, my God. Please don't do that. I just...
Whoa. It's opening up.
Whoa. That's
you
good.
You heard it here that's first. Good.
Sonny Bill Williams.
Bulldog Payne.
Influence on Payne Haas. Oh, my God. I'm getting very...
That makes the most sense.
That makes
right
a
now.
Lot of sense. Oh, my gosh.
How do you feel?
Not very good.
Imagine if Liam was
no,
here.
No.
He would be shivering.
He's probably, wait till he hears this tomorrow.
Yeah. And he heard it here first.
With all the stats, trends, and betting you need to know, this is The Offload.
All right, hard to focus on anything other than what we just spoke about, Ryan, but let's kick it off with Punter's Pals.
Do I have your undivided attention?
No, no, but you know what? I'm going to listen.
Have you got a bunch of Payne Haas stats?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Please. Yeah.
That's has all he been is. A Punter's Pal?
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Let's kick it off with Stephen Crichton.
Critter.
First half double. The first coming right before the main break against Manly last Thursday night. $3.10 for Crichton to score two or more tries. He's been in pretty strong form of late too. He scored in five of his last six games now. Oscar mentioned earlier, Mulitalo brought up a double of his own against the Titans. Only $2.50 for that one. He's now scored in 10 straight home games for Cronulla. The Sharks are back home in the final round against the Raiders. And last but not least, backing the underdog against South Sydney. So the underdog is now covered in each of South's last eight games. So the Dragons were plus 18.5. Yes.
Yeah.
They way covered that. And South have the Knights this week in Newcastle. Knights are underdogs for that one, so that's a
are they?
Yes.
Yeah, 2.5
Yeah, only narrowly. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a ripping game. Yeah, that one. Is. Can't wait for it. What about if you're not first, you're last?
Yeah, a couple of good first try scorer collects from the weekend. Christian Welch was the longest price one, $51 for the Storm on Saturday night. Nine punters had something on.
How many times has he scored a try?
I don't think a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever spoke about Christian Welch.
I'd forgotten he was a player. Honestly. Like, you don't get picked for
I love Welch. I love him. I love him.
It's probably his first mention on the show.
The last time we talked about him was when he
said something
the
about Knights, and then they went up seven in a row.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So you Knights fans better thank Christian Welch.
It's all coming full circle.
Yeah.
And the other one was Adam Reynolds, 23 for the Bronx on Friday. One punter had $50 on him, and he walked away with over a K.
That try highlights how well Reno's playing this year.
Oh.
He was in the middle of the field, 10 meters back from the play of the ball, waiting for the fifth tackle kick.
Yep.
And then as soon as Reese went down that short side, you can see they showed a wide shot. Reno just starts moving, tracking the ball, and he's Johnny on the spot.
And it's been right about, people saying things in the media. It was right about he started to kick more into gear when Jason Demetrio came out and said that Lachlan Ilias was the best half to, will be the best half to ever play for the Rabbitohs. And he said, hold my beer. Reno said, hold my beer.
What about futures forecasts? I reckon for 2024, the Bulldogs might come in a little bit next week.
He's still not ready.
Yeah.
I've got nothing else to say about Manly because they're just. What am I going to say about them?
It's too early. 2 weeks in footy is obviously a long time because the Sharks are $67 back into 26.
Yeah.
And the Storm, $9 into 8. We've only got a couple of drifters in the market this week. The Bunnies, $12 out to 14, even though they had a win.
After a win?
Yep.
Wow.
And the Raiders, $67 out to 101 now.
Yeah.
I reckon the Seagulls will win as many premierships as the Broncos do this season, by the way. Good on you, DC.
It's good to have you
friend
back,
of the
mate.
Show, friend
it's
of Gerard.
Really good to have you back.
What about the incorrect groundings, which are the multis that fail?
Yeah, so this one's going to take a little bit of explaining, but $100 into nearly
$210,000.
Oh,
what?
Oh, my God.
Holy jeebus.
Yeah. So this one's across NRL and AFL. It includes three of our popular multi bets you can get on the heads up
for each game. Those go into the groups.
Yep. So he's nailed the Rabbitohs to win, Jono to score under 50.5 points. That was paying $6.
Ooh.
He's nailed Billy Smith, anytime try scorer. The Brisbane Lions, 1-39. The over on the Lions total, Charlie Cameron to kick a couple of goals, but he's failed on David Nofaluma, 2+ tries, over 46.5 points in Tigers Warriors.
Oh. Did Nofaluma score one?
2+ I think against he the scored Warriors?
One. Yeah, I reckon he did.
Come on.
Yeah.
No sympathy.
Oscar's
that
offered.
Wasn't actually.
Well,
it's like the third or fourth best defense in the comp.
Okay, Statman, calm down. He's just a punter. He's just trying to live his best life with his $100, all right?
Well, he could have lived a better life if he hadn't chosen Nofaluma.
A few of these legs, though, jumped out at me here. I mean, an AFL one, a Dolphins one. I thought just for a second, a split second, maybe our co-host Dylan there. Over
yeah.
But he's too much of a coward to have 100 on anything.
Yeah,
so.
He hasn't spoken about the Finns in about a month.
He's a coward. He's walking in on our bloody unpopular opinions today and everything. Get out of the room, mate.
Let him have it.
Yeah. Get out of here. He did do that. He God, did. That was annoying.
Yeah. I was throwing air punches after
and
him.
And he's just having a laugh about it afterwards. Oh, well, I didn't think about it.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know yous were in there. Yeah. The door's closed,
we're
champion.
We're putting together good content. Isn't it?
Oh, yes. I love this. Can we have a fight with him? Yeah. Like, not like
would you step into the ring with him?
With Dylan?
Yeah. Handcuffed.
Oh, look, I was going to say something, but I better not. Let's move on.
What about the Mad Multis?
Yeah, so this is a simple two-legger, 5K into nearly 14,000. Simple two-legger, as I said. Reece Walsh anytime, and the Broncos to win.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Basic enough. 5K on it.
Yeah, it's a big one.
What were the bloody good bets? Oh, bloody good odds it is, isn't it?
Yeah, so we had a couple of punters throw down $10 into $670. Billy Walters to score two or more tries.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And the other one was $6.30 into 101, Billy Smith to score a second half try.
Oh,
so he scored in the 43rd minute.
I never look at those markets.
That's the first time that's definitely been referenced on the show at any point. Mm. Finally, don't tell the misso.
Yeah, only two this week. 50K on the Dolphins head-to-head and 20K on the over between... This is a really bad beat, actually.
Who are these people?
20K on the over in the Sharks-Titans game. So the total was 42.5. The combined total was only 42.
Oh, God.
Can we name and shame these people?
No, we cannot. Absolutely not.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, definitely not. Ryan, love your work. Thank you very much.
Thanks, make boys. The names up at least.
The Neds NRL Punting Podcast Multi.
How did you guys go with your multi last week? Did it get up?
I actually don't even remember.
No, it didn't. No, I guess. It's the NRL Punting Podcast.
I said the Broncos were going to attack down the right edge. They scored six on the left. I think James took Penrith minus 18.5 or something.
Yeah.
Who were they playing again?
Manly by 12.
Yeah, I actually can't even remember who I went.
Yeah. We didn't go out. Anyway, we're going to find a winner this week.
Let's load back
it didn't
up.
Matter. It didn't matter because you weren't here.
Thank you, Gerard.
We didn't want to win.
Things happen in threes.
Behind closed doors, we were like, whatever. Jared's not here. We don't want to win one without him. You know?
It would be funny if we hit with you.
Yeah.
Not going to call James dad even if there's a fault. All right, Gerard, you're kicking us off this week.
Am I?
You are.
Where did I go again?
It's right here in front of me.
Yeah. Sorry, I remember this one.
Yeah.
I think they need to. Have to.
Yeah.
Don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Need to win.
Yep. You haven't said the game or
Cowboys
the team.
Up in Townsville against the Sharkies. This is going to be either, you know, either of these sides are going to make the eight. So,
for sure.
And I think this is their game to put each one out. So I've gone the Cowboys to win.
The way the Sharks have been playing really makes for a great contest.
It does make for a great contest.
I think up in Townsville.
And I will say this, they play their best footy in Townsville. We've seen it all the back end of this year. You know, they've been playing very, very good up there, the Cows. So I think we've got them $1.58 or
$1.57 you got.
$57, there you go.
We'll see, take that.
Was paying attention when I did it. I just couldn't remember.
It's having too much fun. Ryan, leg two.
I've gone Friday night. I'm taking Manly to cover against the Warriors in Auckland.
Like the sound of that.
I'm a little bit nervous about it, but which probably doesn't give you any confidence. But 15 of the last 16 teams that have played Penrith the week before have covered in their next match.
This is not based on stats or anything, but I can tell you as a Seagulls fan, the games that they turn up and play well in other games that you don't expect turn up and play well
and
in.
Also
New Zealand at night time the Warriors are third or something like that on the ladder.
Schuster in the back row.
I did see that
he's been moved to the back row.
Jacob Arthur into the halves.
And I believe I don't know what I'm about to say. So let's move on.
No, Schuster's been named at six.
Oh, he has been named at six
right now. Tuesday afternoon.
All right, well, it's a 12.5 point line, and they're outsiders. Don't hate that at all. Standard $1.90. I am next. I've gone back to my over under total match points lines.
Yes, you have.
The Eels versus the Roosters. I thought 43.5 total match points was pretty low for these two sides. I think it'll be a bit of a shootout, both of them trying to fight their way into the finals, of course. And 9 of the last 11 games between these two clubs have gone over the total match points lines.
Okay.
I've gone stats. I've had 4 cracks at one of these total match points line this season for 3 wins. So hopefully we can build on that. $1.90 Oscar. Oscar, where are we finishing?
I hate being the anchor, but yeah. We'll see how we go. I've backed the Bunnies to cover the line against the Knights. I think it was -2.5.
It's even worse when it's your team that you're anchoring with as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Jackson Hastings has been named at halfback. It'll be interesting to see whether he actually does play. NRL Physio did a really good post last night saying that he is actually a good chance of playing this week, but also won't be surprised if they rest him for one. The Bunnies have...
They need to win, though.
They do need to win, yeah. And it's Old Boys Day, so I'm nervous. But anyway, Tevita Totola is in the reserves, and so is Jaime Selle for the Rabbitohs. Really missing their front rowers at the moment with Tom Burgess suspended. But I think if one of those two guys comes in, I think the Bunnies are coming... Definitely far from their best, but I think they've still got a bit left in them.
And like Gerald said, they just have to win, don't they? 2.5 point line as favourites, $1.90. Let's recap, Gerald. Cowboys to win, $1.57. Ryan is going Seagulls at a 12.5 point line as outsiders, $1.90. I'm going over 43.5 total match points in the Eels-Roosters game, $1.90. Oscar, Rabbitohs, -2.5, $1.90. Bookies are giving us $10.75.
Am I the one that's not taking the risk this week?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's weird.
That is weird.
You feeling all right?
Let's see if that results in us finally getting another multi home.
I'll look at myself in the mirror.
All right, punters. Well, that one is already built for your convenience. It's available at neds.com.au or on the Neds app, and we're going to put that straight in the Rugby League Open Group as well. All right, guys. It's time for our final thoughts of the week. Gerald, are you getting on the multi this week?
Beg your pardon? Shut up. Every time we say it, we don't come through with it. No. So I've been trying to avoid that because I have said it a lot and then we never win. So I've just tried to be, but you ruined it now.
I'm sorry. What's your final thought?
My final thought is up the Tillies. Like, honestly, the country is behind you. Oh, man. I'm just so happy how far they've come.
Yeah.
Whatever they do on Wednesday night, I can reassure you to say that they should be very proud of themselves. Mm. It's, you know, out of all these other countries that, you know, play in this competition, there's no way we should be where we are, like, really. But it's also inspiring a lot of young women to play, you know, not only soccer, but, you know, sports all around the country. And we said it earlier in the potty, the women's game in this country is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I can't wait. I'll be tuning in on Wednesday night. I mean, I don't know where you guys were when that penalty shootout was the other day, but it felt like the whole country stood still.
Yeah.
Like it did. There was people watching it on planes. There were people at AFL games in the concourse watching it. I'm pretty sure they put it on the big screen in an AFL game.
Yeah.
And they stopped their all their press conferences from going just to watch that game. I know I've seen a lot of people on social media watching it in very random places on boats and I think this is going to be a very, very cool thing if they beat England. Wouldn't it be cool if we can beat England in the Ashes, in the netball as well.
Oh, yeah.
And in this.
Just in everything.
Oh, it would be amazing. And also, I got on them at $11.
Sets up for a fairy tale, isn't it?
I got on them at $11 at a pretty hefty price as well. So, come on, Tillies!
In our newsletter, actually, at the start of the tournament, we had to do a pre-tip, and I got on the Tillies to reach the semis at $5 there. So, it's already off. How bloody good. I'll tell you where I was for that game on Saturday night.
Tell me.
20 metres away from the goal, Gerald.
Oh, no way.
Right at that end, I tell you, it's the best live sporting event I've ever been to.
Wow.
Got a bit emotional afterwards. Honestly.
No, I'm getting goosebumps you say it, because I was watching it at home with my little son. He didn't go to bed. He was watching it with me, and I was looking over at him, and he was standing on the couch. I don't think he knew what he yells when I watch the horses.
Yeah.
He just says, go, go, go. So,
put your head down. His first word was, damn it.
So funny. Actually, when my wife turns the TV back on and I'm not home, and then it's on the racing channel, he's like, go, go, go. He's like, what do you mean? Well, I was like, nah. But anyway, watching him, even like, I think that was a pretty cool moment. Watching him and my missus sitting there and, you know, cheering. And she's full Canadian, you know, cheering for.
How good was it when we did Canada 4-0?
I know. Anyway, she almost cried. But watching that was very, very cool. So up the Tillies for Wednesday night.
And your mum, a former rep, of course, how's she
been going with?
Yeah, no, she's really, really well. Yeah, it's. I think if she loves watching the games, but she's getting on the old girl, so she doesn't stay up too late anymore.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So she always rings me. There they go. It's like, yeah, they won.
Terrific.
What do you got for us?
Well, you know who wasn't watching the Tillys playing on Saturday night?
Who
was Barnaby Joyce?
Oh my God!
Yes.
Well, you guys see this? I didn't see it, but so I did hear about it.
Barnaby's put up a video of himself, a selfie video at the pub on Saturday night.
They
had it on Channel 10.
Just all old people
which
too.
Was, yeah, which was playing the friendly trial that we had with France, like before the tournament started. And then he was on morning TV the next morning. They go, "Did the one you watch go to penalties?" He was like, "No, just finished it full time." They're like,
I think you watched
watched the wrong frigging game. So yeah, shout out to Barnaby.
Oh my God,
that is some funny shiznit
right there.
That is like,
how does that like become such a thorough parody of himself?
Mate, it reminded me of that old Simpsons episode that they did where where he gets caught up in Australian Parliament. Aussie politics. I don't get political very much, but yeah. Barnaby,
I will say this: it would have been the blind leading the blind to that pub because he showed the video around, and it was just old fellas everywhere. So that would have been like, "Yeah, you bloody got it on, you bloody legend,
cheering on, go, mate.
Oh, I would have, if I had walked in there, I would have just went with it. I would have just got blind. I would have just went with it.
Some people say, "Oh, how did no one figure it out?" Like, if you walk in and everyone's cheering a game, you don't question if it's a live one.
Especially if you walk into a pub and you're blind, you just
Lord.
Good on Barnaby. Lord.
The gift that keeps giving is Barnaby.
Yeah.
You got anything for us, Ryan?
I was at Mr. Percival, which is a bar here in Brisbane for the listeners. When the Tillys won that game, and a guy at the pub flipped a glass table upside down, shattered everywhere.
Was the guy you?
It was me. No.
Did he get kicked out?
He did, yeah. He got the tap on the shoulder from the Secchi. So, I'm really looking forward to Wednesday night as well.
Some real characters going that place. Remember when someone shot into it from the river a couple of years ago as well? Great spot.
My accomplices, I wasn't there that day.
So. Yeah. So what are we calling this then? There's got to be some sort of Barnaby Joyce reference in there, doesn't there? Big Barnaby's, I don't know. What are we calling it? Welcome back, Jared.
Rejoice with Barnaby.
What do you reckon?
Rejoice.
Barnaby's replay, something like that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's got to be Barnaby something.
What about Payne Huss to the Bulldogs?
let's wrap this up, all right?
All right, well, whatever we land on, punters, thanks for listening to it. Enjoy the footy this weekend. If you're having a bet, always remember to gamble responsibly.
Thanks for listening to the Neds NRL Punting Podcast. Remember to like, subscribe, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.